Are you there, God? It's me, Divine.
What do you want, queer?
Could you help an old hooker out and bless me with an intro?
Nope. It's Sunday. My day off. I wrote a commandment about that.
Come on, I'm begging of you, God.
Jesus Christ. All right. Glory be and hallelujah. She has returned. Welcome to Full of Grace, the Second Coming. And now, here to resurrect the slander, your heavenly hostess, she's loud, she's opinionated, and she's probably drunk, the Divine Grace!
Woo!
Yay! Well, we're back. We're back. We have literally spent 2 hours talking about Trump after swearing we wouldn't talk about Trump, but it's you can't avoid it anymore, and it's not so heartbreaking because it's so stupid. The news is it's terrifying actually, but it's sort of like watching somebody be fired out of a cannon. It's scary, but it's fun. So I did want to talk to you specifically. Welcome back with our very special guest, Tom Bland.
Tom Bland.
And Cha-Cha
and
over
Cha-Cha.
Here.
Cha-Cha.
Yay, Cha-Cha.
I did want to talk to you, Jay, specifically. You've been watching some 80s movies. 80s and 90s movies.
This all actually started on the chastising I received from the Consecrated crew about not having seen any of the classic gay film, so I watched Anti-Mame.
And?
Oh, you people kill me. What was that? And it was
ghastly. Oh, just ghastly.
And by the way, it was like it's 2 hours and 12 minutes long. It's not even, you know, the old days a movie was 73 minutes. This was 2 hours and 12 minutes.
Do you want to hear something crazier? It's a true story.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
It's a true story. That was based on a book written by the little boy Rocky Dennis or whatever.
No, that's Mask.
Right.
Step
who
out
was,
of it.
Who was it in the movie Mask that you remember had that weird bony face? Cher.
Eric Roberts. I think it was Eric Roberts.
It was Eric Stoltz, actually.
Eric Stoltz, right.
Thank you. It was Cher. I could go back and see that movie again. That was fantastic. Go ahead. I'm so sorry.
I've said it before. I don't think there's been a movie made prior to 1973 that I've appreciated. Nothing. I've tried. I've really tried.
Barbarella, you mentioned that earlier.
And in the sense that for me, that was very, it was just...
ahead of its time.
No. No, it was not sensational, not pornographic, but it was erotic. It was erotic. So my exposure to that as a young man.
But that's like one of the first comic book movies.
I understand, but it's in terms. I mean, it's a really bad movie. I mean, the blind angel and all that stuff. You know, I mean,
I couldn't stand it.
I love it.
I've gone through and decided that it was going to be the summer of bad movie choices, just based on how many 80s movies I own, 80s, 90s. I mean, I own several thousand movies, but
Laserdisc?
No, these are actually digital. I won't say how I got my hands on them. But
he's a pirate!
Needless to say, there's been... a lot of these really bad movies that I had seen at least once, you know, and it was probably a blockbuster rental back in the 90s or whatever, but it had been over 20 years, and I thought, well, while I still have my wits about me and I can remember things, which is getting harder and harder, let me go back and watch some of these really, what I thought at the time were funny, you know, very funny movies, and they're just, most of them are just awful. So I've seen Weekend at Bernie's 1 and 2, City Slickers 1 and 2, Beverly Hills Cop 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, these are gay movies.
The Golden Child.
I loved Golden Child.
Not one that you've mentioned I like.
Well, The Golden Child's actually pretty good, and I like the Beverly Hills Cop series. But I've just gone through it. Nothing But Trouble is the one that is so funny. I posted it on my wall, and unironically, several of my friends came in and said, great movie. And I
wait. Is this Demi Moore and
Chevy Chase?
I saw that in the theater and walked out. I mean, I was just a child, and I remember walking out and going, "What the fuck was that?"
What movie was this again?
Nothing But Trouble. It's Dan Aykroyd as
in heavy prosthetics and what looks like sort of a haunted
yes.
house.
Yes, yeah.
And he literally has a dick nose.
Yeah.
His nose is in the shape of a tiny Trump-like penis, and. Unironically, several of my friends came in and commented how great it was. And then several of them came in and said, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" And I just thought, this is the epitome of America right here. People who love, in my opinion, what is an absolute disaster of a movie. Nothing funny about it. The premise is great, but nothing funny about it. And unironically, many, many people love that movie.
I have a question for Cha-Cha, because now you're the youngest one at the table since Carol Lee left. what is the oldest movie you've seen?
I think that's pretty hard, because I've seen, like, the first ever made Hunchback.
Okay, what's
black
the,
and white.
The, okay, give me, what seems like an old movie to you? Like, let me throw some out. Breakfast Club.
That's not that old. That's not.
So when you look at Breakfast Club,
it's a
you
throwback,
born
but it's
yet.
Not old.
Okay.
It's pretty timeless, actually. Detention.
Well, it is, but I'm curious, like,
I
if someone
Weird
in their
Science
20s.
Last night.
Huh? Weird Science.
Weird Science.
Have you seen that, Cha-Cha?
Yes, once
okay.
I've seen it.
Jay, have you seen that?
Oh, it's a love it. I love it.
Okay.
I modeled, so you understand, I modeled my persona after Anthony Michael Hall in that John Hughes era. Right about the time when he did a football movie where he was a star quarterback.
Night in the Life of Jimmy Reardon, I Saw It at the Drive-In.
Bingo. And where he played...
Was that? No.
No.
That was River Phoenix.
No.
It was what, Johnny B. Goode.
Johnny B. Goode. And where he played a complete and utter egotistical douchebag. And that's where I jumped off the Anthony Michael Hall train.
That's it. And that
but
is,
Farmer Ted in The Breakfast Club and Weird Science and 16 Candles... all of those John Hughes performance, I wanted to be in.
He was an asshole in Edward Scissorhands. Which, by the way, Katie and I went by the asshole.
But this is that's post John Hughes. I'm talking about the mid '80s.
Yeah, they
Anthony
say he was
Michael.
An absolute. He became an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, he became the Johnny B. Goode.
Yeah.
Character.
Tom, I think you and I are probably the oldest ones at the table.
We are the same age.
You and
age.
I are the same age. I keep forgetting. I think you're so much older than me. No. Tom, how old are you?
55.
Oh, so you're older than us. Okay. What is your favorite teenage movie? The movie when you were a teenager, what was your favorite movie as a teenager?
Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein.
Nice.
Cha-Cha, what was your favorite teenage movie? When you were a teenager, what movie do you remember as a teenager that was like... had an impact?
Teenager.
I don't remember anything in high school that was so profound that I went that changed me.
Because you were in high school in the 90s, right?
No. I went to a high school.
No, it later.
2000.
The aughts.
Oh, shoot me in the face.
The aughts.
Yeah, well, that's why. There was no good teenage movies.
5
then.
To 2009.
Do you remember Divine Grace?
Step Up was your
favorite.
Right.
Oh,
are.
God, no.
Yeah.
Legally
one,
Blonde, perhaps.
The one that
closest.
Sticks out. Jay, what was yours?
16 Candles.
I was going to say, John Hughes for me. So for me, it was Pink. Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink. And I can
Pretty
tell,
in Pink,
oh my God,
I
that's
connected
you.
With so
Ducky.
Much.
You were Ducky?
Yes, I was
you
Ducky.
You were
that
Ducky.
Was, yeah.
No, Christopher Bishop. Listening. That was Ducky.
Oh, Christopher Bishop.
That
was
actually, that's before I knew him as Christopher, we always, that was his nickname.
That was
Ducky.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for me it was Rocky Horror, because I don't look at those John Hughes films as, because...
You didn't
guys,
identify.
Because
no,
we
no,
were
no.
that age,
no,
you
no,
and
no,
I
no,
were
no.
The
I,
age of those kids.
I loved those movies, but
yeah.
I was a kid when
right,
we watched
right.
them.
So,
like,
you
to
know,
me, with those, you are my older brother's age, so it seemed like... It made more sense to him, but we, the whole family, loved any of those John Hughes movies. Speaking of films, so one of the movies I noticed you watched was from the 90s, called My Fellow Americans.
Love My Fellow Americans.
Did you see me?
I didn't even know you were in it until you posted your comment, and then I was like, well, I don't care enough about her to go back and find her.
No, it's literally, if you blink, you'll miss me, but I was the Grand Marshal of the Gay Pride Parade.
Oh, you know what?
You got
when
like
that,
two
when
or
that
three seconds.
When that parade popped up, it didn't even dawn on me other than the fact that I was like, oh, how very clever of them to thrust them into that sort of scenario.
Well, now you've seen my hometown. Actually, Asheville...
So that's North Kakalaki?
That's North Kakalaki. I grew up 30 minutes west of Asheville. So you, that scene is downtown Asheville. Then they, the next scene, they get into a car, drive off, and then you remember when he goes to the bathroom and there's the Macarena, and he comes out with the coffee. That's my hometown. And there is a, that's the, our main drag, basically, where all the fast food restaurants are. That was a Long John Silver's they were actually sitting in, and they say they peel out and go over a hill, and then suddenly they're in Asheville, like the band that way, and then they slip into the Gay Pride parade. My memories of that was my first film, and because I had just come out of school, I was equity, so I got everybody else worked for free. I got paid. I made $700 for that.
Wow! And that was a few hours, I'm assuming.
We got there at 6 o'clock in the morning. They started filming, I think, about 9. We wrapped. It was on a Saturday, and we wrapped about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
And it was summer, very, very hot, and all we did all day to film that scene was they would start. Well, first of all, I show up in full drag, and this is like 95.
Five, yeah.
I show up in full drag. Downtown Asheville has been blocked off for this film crew. There's still fog. It's so early, and I show up. And Aaron, the director, casting director, comes over and says, come with me. And he takes me up to Aaron Nickup and says, and they've got all these guys in chairs. And he says, this is what I need. Like this, and I remember the makeup artist saying, how long did it take you to do that? And it's like 2 hours. She was, we've got 15 minutes. 15 minutes, so just, they'll be wearing lipstick. Meanwhile, and then I step out, 9 o'clock, I step out. He's like, I want you in the front car. You're the Grand Marshal. I was like, okay. So I step out at 9 o'clock, and now the streets are, there's thousands of people wanting to be extras. You know, the citizens have now loaded up the streets, and it's quiet. And I'm walking down a street with thousands of people on either side of me, and suddenly there's a round of applause in my hometown. I was like, oh my God, and drag. Like, here's the drag queen, yay! We've started filming. And we either, all right, and go, and, or, you know, action, or better yet, and act. And there was a police officer on horseback at the beginning of the parade. Like, they start filming, 2 seconds in, the horse drops a deuce.
Plops.
I cut, and, but you can't back up a parade. So the whole parade has to go around the block and get back into position. And we did that over and over and over. So when they have to reset up, that takes a while. It's working on film is boring as fuck.
It's a lot of waiting.
Fuck.
Was it really the horse that dropped the deuce?
No, it's not me.
Oh, okay.
So finally, around, oh, I don't know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock or so, they bring out the talent. And here comes James Garner and Jack Lemmon. And James Garner walks over to me and puts his hand out and shakes my hand. Says, you know, nice job.
Jim Rockford shook your hand.
Shook my hand. He was super sweet. I remember saying something about Victor Victoria, and he was really sweet about it. Meanwhile, you've got Jack Lemmon, who is looking at me like I just rubbed a turd in his face. Like he's completely disgusted by my look. And all I can think of is, bitch, didn't you do this with Marilyn Monroe?
And not near as good, yeah.
Anyway... gratefully, when they started filming, that police horse stamped on his foot and he had to be airlifted to a hospital. So there wasn't a lot of filming after that.
Mm.
So every time I see Jack Lemmon, that's all I think is, oh, what an asshole. I was also in the, you don't see me in this scene, the train scene. We filmed that all night long. At the beginning.
You told me that.
When they slip on the train, we got trashed on that train. But another film I was an extra in was Last of the Mohicans. Now, there is a throw on that couch if you want to grab it. There's a daily poll that says, which which is Daniel Day-Lewis's best role? Let There Be Blood, or There Will Be Blood, Last of the Mohicans, The Boxer, Lincoln, My Left Foot. The reason they're asking is because he's decided he's no longer going to act. He made a statement. I am no longer going to act. Well, he hasn't made a movie in 2 years. So we can go, like, okay. And they ask him why, and he says, I don't want to talk about it. Like, bitch, you brought it up. We weren't talking about it until you said I'm not doing it anymore.
What's the last movie he made?
Lincoln.
Oh.
Well, he's very method.
Oh.
Was method.
Yeah, he was. And he's I'll give him credit where it's due. He's a phenomenal actor. But, yeah, that whole bit. I'm not talking about, well, bitch, you haven't made a movie in 2 years, and then you pop up to say you're not doing it. So, obviously, you brought it up. But, anyway, go away. Daniel Day-Lewis, I don't care. Well, here's more in our Daily Dispatch, which I think this is hilarious. Have you guys seen what's going on with Justin Bieber?
I heard.
Yes, he's having a sort of existential...
He's having a gay relationship with a priest.
Yeah, an existential...
With a fitness priest.
Have you seen...
An identity
have
crisis.
Have you seen this preacher?
Yeah, he
looks... The picture of them walking on the beach with their shirts off made me just want to, like...
I
want to
give him tithes. Oh. But then you're watching, like, these interviews, and it seems like Bieber's, like maybe he's really stoned, or maybe now he's just, I don't know, a Scientologist? Justin Bieber mesmerized by self-made pastor, a cult church. They shop with Justin's credit card together at Louis Vuitton because, you know, Jesus loves a Louis Vuitton bag. And Bieber says he, quote, loves him. And so I'm just wondering how much longer is it going to be?
Before they get married?
Before they get married.
Yeah.
Well, how many people can he run over in that truck before they
and
get
then,
married?
And then he immediately runs over somebody this week.
In his big truck.
In his monster truck.
Like, sorry. Jesus.
With no boosters.
Justin Bieber hit a guy... With his
Jesus. Right after finding Jesus.
Did he pop out of nowhere and
apparently Jesus was not his co-pilot?
No, there are hundreds.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Jesus exactly. Didn't.
He ran right over him.
Jesus was in the bathroom.
Now, it says Justin Bieber is already a born-again Christian. He was also a bit of a rube with a lot of money and no actual education. So he's prey to any cult that could find him. Back in March, Bieber attended... this big conference in New Zealand, they gave a lot of interviews that have just been sitting on YouTube here, and then they posted these videos. They're bizarre. It's nuts. Like, he's been brainwashed.
He canceled his tour and gave up millions of dollars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he still has Bieber money. Baby money. God, I can't stand him. I'm glad he's found Jesus. But maybe that'll shut him up. Maybe if he...
It'll be... Yeah.
Yeah, I just see him on his knees giving head. I mean, communion.
Kneeling.
Ugh. All right, well, so there's Bieber out. Wait, let's see what's... every now and then I like to see what is in the comments.
Can we reclaim our time?
I'm
reclaiming my time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in the comments section? Not a peep. Nobody cares.
About the Bieber?
Uh-huh. He's a milking machine.
You mean on your post?
No. Here on the...
Oh.
Oof. Okay, so let's see what else. It's Karamochi. Oh, in North Carolina. They have, my home state of North Kakalaki, they have filed a bill to make gay marriage illegal again.
Again.
The three Republican lawmakers filed a new bill which seeks to ban gay marriage in North Carolina. The, quote, Uphold Historical Marriage Act aims to invalidate the U.S. Supreme Court's 2015 ruling on same-sex marriage, claiming that they violated constitutional bounds when the court dismantled Amendment 1. Now, Amendment 1, when that was voted on, it was like Prop 8 in California, and it was one of those bills that was... Like, when you go in to vote, it's like, you don't want gay marriage? Yeah, vote yes on no, on proposition. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I had family members who were like, I want to let you know I voted for Amendment 1. And I was like, why? And they're like, because we think you should be able to get married. I'm like, well, you just voted so I couldn't. Well, here's what they didn't know. it was already illegal to get married. Gay married in North Carolina at the time. But there were other laws that were attached to that bill that made it difficult for straight people who were who had children who were not married to get public service. So it was sort of slipped in, like they basically said, "Yeah, this is an anti-gay bill." It didn't hurt at the time; didn't hurt gay people at all. It hurt straight people actually, but they were able to get it through by turning it into this anti-gay bill. So they're trying once more. Well, let me. Larry Pittman, Michael Speciale, and Carl Ford are the core sponsors of House Bill 780, which quotes the Christian Bible and states the Supreme Court overstepped, quote, the decree of Almighty God that a man shall leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Genesis 2:24. That's in the bill.
At the same time, are they going to close the Long John Silver's for the shellfish and stop selling blended materials?
They don't care about that, though.
But that's the Bible.
It says the HB 780 also argues that the Supreme Court abrogates the clear meaning and understanding of marriage in all societies throughout prior history. Well, that's just not true. Because marriage has meant, traditionally, it's property. It's an exchange of property. Traditionally, it was just so that a woman became a man's property.
That's why the father traded the goat and the crops
for. You know, like, you rape a woman. Well, then you have to marry her. You have to make her your property. Because who doesn't want to marry the rapist, right? Just pay her dad a few shekels and walk her down the aisle and nudge her on the shoulder when he said to say, I do. Oh, the Bible. You know what's interesting, though, that Jesus, in the Bible, aside from performing magic tricks, and at the end of his story, if I remember correctly, he actually flies away, which I think is awesome.
He's like in Greece.
He was like in Greece. He's like David Blaine, like 2,000 years ago, he was like David Blaine, except he actually did magic.
You know who didn't love the Bible was Billy.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely. No, I think he was a confirmed atheist.
I have a real problem with that Bible.
The old part or the new part?
It's a book of nonfiction. I love that meme that says, you go to the library, it's a book of nonfiction that starts with a talking snake and ends with a four-headed dragon.
Mm-hmm. Nonfiction. That's my meme.
Jesus didn't say not a peep in that Bible about gay people. You know what he did really dislike, though, and he mentions it often? Divorce. But I don't see any bills going through the House to make that illegal. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys know this, but divorce is the number one destroyer of marriages in the world. So nobody seems to be doing anything about that. But the Bible also, you know, they're really, really pro-slavery. You know who else who's pro-slavery? Gobert.
You're right. I was waiting for that. I knew
that
you were going.
That is the best segue.
That was a good segue.
You know, let's say you have a slave.
Right.
How would you want to dress them?
You would probably want them to wear, I don't know, a leather harness.
Or a leather dog face. I don't know if they do.
Puppy mask.
Well, so puppy mask. I call it dog face.
Sometimes
yeah. See how far I've been out of the loop?
A leather vest. Now, I don't know that the Bible says anything about peeing on somebody. But if you were into that sort of thing, you would wear yellow.
Besides the harnesses, they've got armbands, cuffs.
Jocks. Cock rings.
What?
Yes, cock rings. Have you ever worn a cock ring, Jay?
I've never worn a cock ring.
We now, gotta make Jay put one
now, hold on. I did one time, and I've never confessed this to the world, so listen up. I did one time put on a sweatband, a wristband.
That doesn't count.
And used it to masturbate.
Oh, well, that's kind of hot.
Because it was very soft, and it didn't...
All right, so if we bring in a cock ring on the air, would you go in the bathroom and at least put it on?
Of course I would. Okay. I would go put one on, sure.
All right.
Sam, make it happen. I'm an extra large.
So where is this Gobert?
So Gobert is, you know, it's in the Milk District here in Orlando at 2430 East Robinson Street.
Like Milk. The Harvey Milk
in
District.
The Hardy Milk District. Lee, by the way, said he would help you.
Knew my husband Lee was. I was just thinking about Lee. What would Lee want to do with me?
You go to America, get your harnesses, armbands, cuffs, cock rings, and aromas.
I know that you have been watching a lot of videos lately. I bet those heads are just
dirty.
My VCR heads are filthy.
Well, I'm going to go there and get some.
They have
for
video
that.
Head cleaner, all kinds of.
They do custom
nail
work.
Stripper.
Nail strippers, yes, yeah. They've got that a selection, and the nicest employees on the planet.
Yes, they do.
Also, if you mention that Divine Grace sent you, you get 10% off.
That's right. 10%. And you can go to their website, if you're not in Orlando, to GOBEARR.com.
That's GOBEARR.
Go, Bear!
I said Gober.
You said
Rawr.
Sorry, Raphael and Sam. But anyways, yeah, go there, get your gear, get your leather stuff, and get your aromas.
Well, that's great. Well, who were you about?
Jay saying, wrap it up. Let's go, Jay.
This is another favorite.
Wait a second before you say that.
Hold up.
Before you say that, Taylor texted. He's not going to make it. But he wanted Jay and us to know.
Yes, Taylor recommended this song, and I highly recommend it as well. This is Break Down by One Dove.
And it's one of his favorites.
Thank
one
you,
of
Taylor.
Absolutely favorites.
We'll be right back.
This is Ginger Minj, and you're listening to the Full of Grace show. She's full of something.
And we're back without Carol Lee to give us something hysterical. Let me try. And that's when Paul Lynde said, "No, you're not sticking your finger there."
Oh, Sammy.
Thank you. Oh, that went over much better than I had anticipated.
That was good.
So who was that?
That was One Dove. It's called Breakdown. It was from 92.
Oh. And Taylor, we definitely appreciate you calling and letting us know you couldn't make it.
Yeah, thank you, Taylor. I get
completely
it.
Understand, but thank you for sending us song
choices.
I'm
having some back problems again. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's going to end up without a spine.
Oh, I feel so bad for Taylor in his back.
I can't imagine. My whole family has like degenerative disc disorder, and so for the most part, I've had no problems, except I've got like a wonky neck, but I've never had to deal with bad backs. But now I'm getting at 42, I'm noticing that I can go to open a drawer the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so funny how it just sort of hits you immediately.
Or like when I went to wipe my ass and my arm.
You dislocated your
shoulder. Dislocated my shoulder.
Wiping his ass dislocated his shoulder. I'm sorry. That's
the for thing. The win.
Comedian Brad Locley once said that he said this morning I woke up and he's I think 39, 40. He said I found a gray hair sticking out of my nose that was long enough I could hang myself with it. To which Alec Moffat said, "Wait until you throw your back out taking a shit."
True.
Oh, well. Wonder what's going on with Zsa Zsa.
Please lower your heads in silence as we now reflect on those who have passed away this week and have gone on to prepare Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Zsa Zsa Gabor's trip-hop, psychedelic, funk master, house party in the sky.
I hate her. I hate that queen.
Well, aside from Billy Maine's author and activist RSVPing in the affirmative to Zsa Zsa's house party, and don't you feel like that once he got there, Zsa Zsa's all like, "Alan, make another drink. You're never going to believe who's here. You're never going to believe who's here." We've also lost Cajun music icon, D.L. Minnert. Now, he says here he is known for The Back Door. Oh. I thought you were famous for that.
Yeah. I'm known for that too.
This was sort of sad for me. She was 99, June Foray, the voice of Rocky the Flying Squirrel, Cindy Lou Who, Tweety's owner Granny. Did you see the post I put up of Granny?
Yeah.
That just brought a tear to my eye. It's literally somebody had drawn a picture of Sylvester holding Tweety, both of them sort of sad, and Granny flying off. It was beautiful. We grew up, all of us grew up listening to her. She was in a ton of stuff. You know, like she was Witch Hazel. So she had that sort of gravelly, sickeningly
but
sweet.
But high, yeah.
Very sickeningly, like, sweet mm-hmm. voice. Let's see, what's that? Dr. G. Oh, I'm not even going to try with that one. Nope, sorry, Dr. G. Frank Sinatra's wife, Barbara, has passed at age 90. She was beautiful.
And rich.
Oh, yeah, she's quite wealthy with that Sinatra money. Danny Daniels, Emmy and Tony Award-winning choreographer at 92. He was a dancer in several Broadway musicals, including Boy and Dolly Baby and Kiss Me, Kate. So there's another one that you really should check out, Jay. And
Kiss Me, Kate?
Kiss Me, Kate. No, it's awful.
It's awful.
Although, do see Seven Cock Rings for Seven Brothers, because it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. The casting, the direction.
That was all stunt casting.
The sequel, I believe, was Two Girls with One Cup. two Girls for One Cup. John Hurd, do you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who he is, Cha-Cha? Yeah. John Hurd? He was the dad on Home Alone.
He's Home Alone now.
That house is empty now. I was literally They've been showing Beaches on rotation on Showtime, and I literally had it on. He was the love interest in Beaches when the news came over.
I forgot he was in them.
He was hot at the time, but yes, he's gone. Let's go ahead and wrap that. I do have...
Nobody else died?
Well...
Nobody that was
Sean Spicer's career. Wait.
Chester Bennington.
Yes.
From Lincoln Park had passed, suspected suicide. Costume jewelry designer Kenneth.
Wait, I thought the last thing I heard about him was it was suspected murder.
I saw that too, but that was sort of
I just saw one little thing about it, but I never saw anything else.
Reclaiming my time, that's fake news.
Reclaiming my time.
So back to Chester Bennington for just a moment.
If we may.
He was abused, sexually abused as a young child. He had a lot of angst in him, a lot. And he, if you ever saw a Linkin Park performance, I never saw them live, but of course I'd seen many live performances on the internet. He was tortured. He was a tortured soul. He had become, after his peak of fame, and down on the backside, again, Linkin Park was, it's so funny to think about, but Linkin Park was famous more than a decade ago. They've really been not too relevant for the better part of that decade. Post-fame, post-major fame, he became very good friends with Chris Cornell.
Yeah. Which, yep.
And Chris Cornell, we know, had committed suicide a few months ago. Well, Chester Bennington, father of six, committed suicide on Chris Cornell's birthday. That's probably what people need to keep in mind, that he was a tortured soul and he felt alone in this world, and that was probably why.
Well, and more on that after. Let's go ahead and close that.
All right.
You'll never make it, my dear, if you're that jealous. I know women like you.
So on that note, I have... in my life skirted suicide. I have I've been very open about that. I make no attempt to hide that. But it seems like right now, you know how it is, it's sort of a winter of the soul. There's a lot of people in America that are just brokenhearted for 1,000 reasons, the least of which are not what's going on in Washington. I've lost so many friends to suicide. It is very important to any of you here at this table or listening, before you make that final step, reach out. It's never that bad. It's never, my mother used to say to me, it sounds so cliche, but she was like, no matter how awful your day is, the worst thing that could ever happen to you happened today, there will be another day that you're laughing. And you will get through it. If you can weather it, you'll get through it.
And if you can pick up the phone, you can call 1-800-273-8255 for the National Suicide Hotline Prevention. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no judgment.
We love you. We don't want to lose you.
I called the suicide hotline once, and they said, "Go ahead."
You're doing. They said, "Oh, you're doing
great." Like, "Oh, girl, no. We hear about you all the time. You're doing the right thing." something else I was reading here. A notable passing away was a woman by the name of Alicia Brevard. Now, I've never seen this person. I've never heard of her, but she was a transgender actress, model, and writer. She was 79 when she passed, and one of the very first men to undergo transitional surgery in America during the early 60s.
Wow, she was very pretty.
She was gorgeous. Like, and I'm trying to think who she reminds me of. I would suggest anybody listening, there's a transgender actress, a beautiful transgender woman, by the name of Bianca Lee, L-E-I-G-H, on Facebook. Now, I've known her for years in New York. She lives in New York. She's an actress, and she, I'm not sure if she still does it, but she would bartend at Lips, which is sort of a Hamburger Mary's style.
She's astonishingly beautiful and a really quick wit. So if you can follow her on Facebook, do that as well and tell her I sent you. If you saw Bianca's movie, Bianca Del Rio's movie, she was the transgender actress in that.
Okay.
She was the transgender friend. But do follow her. This is who she sort of, this Alicia Brevard woman sort of reminds me of Bianca Lee. She's devastating. well, let's see more good news. Climate change.
Yay!
I read something just awful about climate change this week that there is no reset button for humanity at this point. I think that, you know, the Earth, she resets herself every so often. Sometimes it'll be an asteroid will reset. Sometimes it'll be an ice age, but we've had five extinction level events over the eons. We are now currently experiencing the sixth. More species are dying now. It is extinction level. Like, we're killing plants and animals at a rate that hasn't happened in millions of years. We have been warned for years and years about the ozone and climate change and whatnot, and scientists have been saying, guys, you got to start doing something or this is going to be irreversible. They are now seeing that they were completely wrong about how much time we would have to fix that, and that it looks like today's teenagers are going to be maybe the last full generation on the planet, that it's that bad. The problem now is permafrost. And now that the northern hemisphere is thawing out, permafrost, which is called that because it doesn't thaw, is now starting to thaw out, releasing with it three times more carbon dioxide than is currently wrecking. So once that thaws out, it's completely, there's nothing, there's going to be no Mad Max, you know, people running around on what's left of the planet. It's just everybody will die.
Could it be like Kevin Costner's Waterworld?
I can't imagine it would be that bad.
That was terrible.
Oh my God.
Well, another thing that popped up in the news, and I haven't read enough about it to know, but that they've talked about that could be something that could lead to our human extinction, is researchers have found out that and this is the result of, they said, about 200 studies, that sperm count among men in North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand have plummeted like in less than 40 years. A lot to the point that they're saying if we don't start changing the way we're eating and things that we're doing, this could also cause it. So maybe it is about time. Maybe this is everything telling us. It might be that time that...
Do you know what the Drake's... I've told you about the Drake's equation, right? There's an equation that that a scientist put together to come up with basically the idea of how many how much intelligent life is out in the universe. And the equation is a very long equation, and it's something like, okay, if there's X amount of stars, how many of those might have a planet? And out of those planets, how many of those might be the right distance from its star to harbor life? And out of those, how much of that life is then intelligent? And then out of those, how many of those survive technology? That's a part of the equation, is that we fully expect that we're going to die from our own technology. That's what's happening right now. We're dying from a misuse of our own technology, which is basically, I think, what's happening with all of this, is that we advanced too far too quickly to pay attention. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that we had the combustible engine and everybody said, great, now everybody's got to have a car, everybody's got to have coal and fuel and this, that, and the other, and that was the greatest thing. But we've managed to use up most of the fossil fuels that took billions of years to create. Tons of Think about, like, every piece of plastic is made from oil, petroleum. Plastic,
rubber.
Like, what would we do without, we'd be back to the Stone Age without plastic and oil and that sort of thing. So, there was one, it took an 11-mile crack, something just a few days to spread across. Now we have the largest iceberg that they know of, that we've ever seen. It's just a piece, like, the size of a state. Just,
it's the second largest in history. We talked about it before, but yes, literally it's the size, it's bigger than Long Island.
The iced tea drink?
Yes. By the way, Buster Burns is listening.
Yay, Buster, how do?
Have a tab.
And a big
have
hello,
a tab with us.
Big hello to Jenna as well, who I know has spent this weekend at a drag pageant. She called today, and I was collecting groceries, so I couldn't speak with her. So anyway, so aside from Zsa Zsa, I guess we're all going to die. So there's that.
Well, not Elon Musk, because they're going to get a plane and they're going to go to Mars, and then they're going to live, and we're all just
going to
burn.
Yeah, there's not. There's going to be no. There's going to be no. Let's get to Mars and live there. I did. Oh, speaking of movies, though, I did finally see Life.
Oh, what'd you think?
It's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
It wasn't
the
great.
Eddie Murphy Martin.
No.
The Ryan Reynolds.
The space movie.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
It's good,
but it's really good, but it's not great. Like it's not like way. It's
fine.
It's not. I feel like I'm not.
It kept me on the edge. Yeah. I mean, I was, and the ending is. Has anyone here not seen it? Everyone.
The ending is fantastic. I felt like it could have been, pardon me as I geek out for a second, I felt like it could have been an origin story for Venom in the Spider-Man franchise.
Yes.
Did you see it? Also, I was really happy to see that somebody gave Ryan Reynolds a part where he got to be snarky.
No, he never gets to.
Have you ever seen him interviewed?
Mm-hmm.
God, I love that man.
Yeah, he's very, very quick with it.
Oh my God,
like, he's funny. What do you think, Cha Cha? You're a girl and he's straight, so. Do you like Ryan Reynolds?
I mean, he's nice to look at, but I mean,
that's it.
I'm gonna hit her.
He's not my type. And then you say you're straight.
Well, no, you're not straight, but.
No.
But you like boys.
Some.
Sometimes. Good answer.
That's actually a perfect answer.
When their balls sometimes are bigger than mine, then yes. But, I mean, he's pretty to look. I don't know. You know me, The Rock, number
one. That's right.
Ryan Reynolds. Is that right?
What do you think of The Rock running for president?
Oh.
Kid Rock or The Rock?
No, not Kid Rock.
Both are running.
Kid Rock's running. Yes, both to know.
But
I want Chris
Rock.
I want The Rock. But no.
There were literally people like, oh my God, that wouldn't that be great if he was... No, that would not be great. We need to stop making...
We have somebody that doesn't know what they're doing now.
Yeah, it's not working out. So can we please get somebody with a working knowledge of legislature process or... Anyway. Ryan Reynolds.
Mm.
Yeah. Bette Midler. He married Blake Lively.
Yes.
Bette Midler was invited to the wedding and she went and she said... I don't know either of these people. I just went to see his ass.
Mm. Do you remember the first scene you saw Ryan Reynolds in?
Uh-huh.
What?
It was Van Wilder's National Lampoon's Van Wilder.
What was yours?
Two guys and a girl.
What was yours?
It was Van Wilder.
And Tom. Tom doesn't give a fuck about Ryan Reynolds.
two girls, one
guy. Mine was Dick. Remember, he was the young kid who was making out with one of the girls and Dick.
I don't think I ever finished that movie.
Love Dick. I love Dick.
I know you do.
Oh, I love Dick.
You know who else loved Dicks?
Billy Mayne.
Billy Mayne.
Billy loved Dicks.
Loved
Dick.
Loved it. Oh, that's tragic. Well, let's see. What else? Do you guys have anything to discuss?
A break.
Well,
it is. We could take a break early. Sure, why not? In honor of
I'm sorry, Jay. Would you like to wait?
No. You. I was much better at managing our time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were so good at it when you didn't do the commercials or not even know how to do... what was it? But I want to thank you for...
That was a hand job.
Breaking news, but you know,
seriously. But why wouldn't the breaking news be over here? Because why would it be over here? But why wouldn't it be over there?
Because it's not. It's over here.
The one place, random place. Let's listen.
The random place where everything else is.
Let's listen to some Pet Shop Boys. This is Requiem in Denim and Leopard Skin.
All right.
I thought it was like a film.
And we're back. That was the Pet Shop Boys.
Requiem in Denim and Leopard Skin, another favorite of Billy Mayne's.
Well, it was less depressing than Requiem for a Dream.
I'll say.
There's a movie you only see once.
Well, we have to thank Tom for something. We just had a conversation.
Something happened on the fly.
Yeah, so we just had a conversation on the air.
He has outsourced a copy.
Yes.
This is quicker than Amazon Prime.
Those of you that have been listening for about 20 minutes, we had this discussion that Jay Skinner has never worn a cock ring, ever. And so we're like, well, if we got one, would you try it on the air? He said, absolutely. Tom's on the fucking phone, and Alex shows up. Hey, Alex.
Welcome, Alex.
With a ton of cock rings.
With a string of cock rings.
Wow. All
it sounds like Christmas.
It does.
Or bad wind chimes.
Christmas in July.
I've never seen your mouth so open before.
No, I don't think I...
Are you going to model them for me?
I don't know how to tell you people this, but...
this is beyond
full disclosure, I have a penis.
Oh,
no, that's just between nobody else. Don't tell anybody, but Divine Grace has penis. And what? I think it might be a little hard. That's quite a collection. So go ahead, whip it out.
So, all right, well, so...
Whip it out, that's put it on there.
So I have some questions, because I am truly a novice.
We'll help.
Obviously, these are variations on a theme where in
size,
wherein my penis will be inserted into.
No, all of your male organs will be.
Thank you, because I was going. Alex must have a freaking hog.
You said bring large, and I'm like, bring medium.
Wait,
to small.
Jay told you to bring large.
Jay said bring large, and I giggled.
Because apparently...
Is that straight large or gay large?
I was just about to say, I have received a lot of encouragement over the years from women as to my size and stature.
Yeah, well,
and I'm looking at some of these
women
going...
Women do say that.
I don't know that... These things are bigger than my wrist.
You know who else says that? Donald Trump. He gets compliments on his exceptionally large penis.
Right. Understand this goes around your ball.
Yes, I have just been informed that. Now, this one appears to be just around the penis. Am I right?
Not necessarily.
That could be a head one.
Okay. I can give you some numbers.
This would be snug on me.
Nope.
This one, This one looks
to
be more the
this
right
size. Too big.
It's not like...
Okay, look, can I say something, Alex? You said you don't really want to... Well, you
go ahead, Alex.
But can I say something?
So everybody knows, I know
it's
Alex.
It's in your nail.
I trust Alex very much that I'm handling his cock rings.
Right.
I know Alex.
Jay, the first time I ever even... I'd heard of cock rings. I was like late teens, early 20s. Never worn one. And I was at a friend's house. This sounds terrible in the beginning, but please bear with me. I was babysitting her child.
And he was wearing a cock ring.
And the child had the biggest dick. No, I'm babysitting the baby. And this girl, she was out on a date or whatever. And she had been cleaning her house, and she had like a corner of the house that was just, she had just swept a bunch of shit and all of her stuff into. And I saw a wooden earring that was in the trash. Right. And it was like a wooden earring about that size. I didn't know what I needed. I didn't know how to size myself for one. So I thought, I'm going to try this on. So I took her earring, I popped the little thing off, it was just a wooden ring, I got it on my dick, got hard, and it was too small. Couldn't get it off. Now I'm babysitting a child, waiting on the mother to come home.
Do you know why?
With a raging hard on.
He's all like, those little fingers could probably get around this. Can you help it? I'll look around.
Oh, and I was like, what am I going to do? And I couldn't get it off. And it's wood. I literally had to break it. Inward, and it popped off like a can of biscuits.
You did or it did?
No, it did. I didn't. No, and thank God.
You were stressing.
Yeah, I was, because I thought, well, how am I going to explain that? She walks in, I got a big purple dick.
I'm 11 years old. My penis is engorged. I'm in the ER.
So tell us about these. What's
that?
What's going on?
I want to know about this one on the
end. No, you don't.
I don't.
Start at the early and work up to
work this way. Okay, well, so what I'm holding in my hand is what is a rubber, looks like a nut.
Is it rubber?
I thought it was metal.
No, it's rubber.
Oh, that's what the cable is.
It looks like a big metal nut.
It looks like, yeah, it's like a bolt. Thank you.
It goes on your tool.
A nut for a bolt, not a nut.
Yeah, the bolt is the, yeah.
Right. And then the next one I have is a very thick rubber black one. It looks like it's about 3/4 inch wide. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is the same size, but it's got a
A stitching
down the center.
You know what, though? Sniff it.
No. Let's skip all the sniffing.
And then there's,
you're going to love the way that
there's something that looks like, what do you call it? It smells
like tab.
It looks like,
oh, a tab is Alex, sponsoring us.
Would you care for a tab? A delicious
oh,
tab.
No, thank you.
Are you sure?
Yeah. The next one I have here, it looks like a gummy nut. It looks like it's made of gummy. I want to eat it.
Put it in not recommended. I think that comes after you put it on.
Oh, right. The gummy nut, right?
It'll be in somebody's mouth.
And then something that looks like remember the 80s?
That's a hair scrunchie.
The 80s bands that we wore.
Madonna.
The Madonna bands, the black bands, and the pink bands. It looks like that. And then I've got some metal ones that look like...
They orbit the sun.
They look like rejects from the magician's trick. For little people.
That works.
And then I have an orange one in that same style. And then a very, very large, thick one that would probably be a...
A bracelet.
It's on a Mercedes-Benz.
But it's extraordinarily heavy. This is the heaviest...
Those are my favorite ones.
It's a piston ring from a Mercedes-Benz.
Why the heft on this? What does that bring?
Well, some people like a little bit of weight. That tugging sensation kind of gets them going.
So once this is wrapped around my genitalia, it will be pulling down a little bit.
You'll feel a little weight.
No, it loses gravity and floats like.
Well, no, but I mean, I guess I'm curious. Does it make my length look longer? Because I know that when I'm playing with myself. You know, if you pull down on
please, there are children listening.
Well, I hope they are and learning a good lesson here. And
don't use wooden cock rings.
Lee said, Jay and I will take them all, please. Wrap them up. So which one are you going to try on?
Well, hold on. I want to know what this very last one is.
Paint tickler one.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so this goes around the front of me, and then
tickles your taint.
This won't get any... Oh, just my taint, though?
No, but you could get an attachment that
goes
on there.
I don't know. It depends on how close your butthole is.
I honestly feel like this would get to my butthole. I was thinking it was for my butthole, but it wouldn't make it to my butthole. My butthole stretches pretty far
back. No, his is like towards his...
Mine stretches...
Straight people have it.
All right, so I have to make a choice here for the listening audience. Does anybody in the chat room have a preference?
I bet Lee does. Let me describe it to the gay men listening, because made no sense. So he's got one of the big heavy metal rounded ones. He's got a neoprene. Is there a neoprene one in there? A rubber one?
Yes.
A couple rubber jelly ones. And then the taint tickler, which, by the way, the taint tickler, I've never seen one that... The tickler part so big.
I've never seen one so metal ones.
I've never seen one so clean.
Or so clean, that's true.
He started boil them when we turned the podcast.
Lee said he likes the... Like, you know, I think Lee's your boyfriend on the show, so Lee should pick it. Lee said the black Madonna ones.
This one?
No.
Those hurt, though.
It's a hair scrunchie.
They hurt. That's a hair scrunchie. They kind of hurt, but you could try that. To me, the thicker ones don't hurt.
I should try this.
That's a good one. What is this then? Now, okay, it's for the audience that can't see. That's a rubber. That's not neoprene.
Oh, that's not neoprene.
No, but that's okay. Try it.
No, try it.
Is that neoprene?
It doesn't matter.
Does it matter? Do you have neoprene shoes or a neoprene belt? Jay, I picked that one.
I know where you
What's it supposed to match, girl? Really?
There's a place in the milk just...
Not here.
No, or not here.
What? Yeah, it's here. What are you talking about?
No.
Of course not here.
Okay. You're in the bathroom, so you got to talk loud. So let us know what you're...
All right. Leave the door cracked. I'm wearing black underwear to go with my black...
Oh, look at you.
With your neoprene.
So while he's in there.
I'm going to address an article that I read today. Out Magazine, perhaps you're familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
They have a writer by the name of Rose Domu, She writes this letter. I see it on my Facebook feed every couple of months. A gay man complaining about women in the gay bar. Sometimes it's a complaint about annoying bachelorette parties who harass and tokenize men who are simply trying to dance and hook up. Sometimes it's a guy saying he doesn't feel comfortable having sex at a sex party if there are women around. Sometimes it's an older gay man saying there should be no fish allowed. That is seriously a comment I saw on Facebook post this week. Dear gay men, stop telling women they can't be in gay bars. I know this might surprise you, but in 2017, women can go anywhere they want to. Furthermore, we don't need your approval to do it. When I see these kinds of discussions on social media, there are usually a few men who comment with something like, I love bringing my girls to the club. Well, that's nice, but not only do women not need your approval to be somewhere, we don't need you to take us anywhere. We know how to drive, get on a subway, flag a cab, or download Uber. I understand that bachelorette parties can be annoying. What they do harass, and that they do harass and tokenize gay men, and I would have nothing wrong with someone saying, I don't think bachelorette parties should come into gay bars and harass and tokenize gay men, but saying no women should be allowed in gay bars is a false equivalency. Because not all women in gay bars are there to drink enough to request that the DJ play the thong song, even though the DJ should totally play the thong song. Women in gay bars are not limited to bachelorettes. Did you forget that queer women exist? Trans women, straight women with gay friends, or straight women who just like gay bars or drag queens? Yeah, well, you probably did. And even if you did, requiring some kind of reason for a woman to be in a gay bar or an excuse for some gay to supervise her is misogyny. Questioning a woman's right to be anywhere or do anything is misogyny. It's perfectly fine to ask cis hetero women to be more respectful of our spaces instead of being misogynist. The real thing is that misogyny is a huge issue in the gay community. This is one of the ways it's most frequently enacted. If you can't dance to some shitty house song or go down on a stranger just because a woman's in the room, you need to examine what that says about you, not call for the removal. Misogyny.
Now, truth.
I want to address that.
But first, a word from this Cochrane.
Now, what do you think?
Well, all right, so I guess my first question is because I'm not turned on right now.
Yeah.
Is this going to
reclaiming my time?
I'm surprised.
Reclaiming my time. Are we talking about Divine's thing or your cock ring experience?
No, we're going back to the
I've put it on.
Uh-huh.
It is restricting
blood flow,
right. But I'm not turned on, so I don't
take
have
your smartphone in the bathroom.
Can
and
you
put
just
something
undo
on
your pants enough that pull it down so sure. We can see that you're actually wearing it?
Of course. Of course you can. I will totally show you my you dirty, dirty
pervert. I just want to make sure. Oh, yeah, he's got it on.
Hashtag push in the bush.
So,
well, you might need that bigger one, but go ahead.
Well, so I guess the question is if I am excited, does it provide a different sensation or does it maintain erection?
Maintains.
Okay.
Because the blood flow gets there, it keeps pumping up and doesn't go out, so it gets bigger and bigger like...
Right, so at this stage, it's not, you wouldn't wear this around as like you would, say, like a harness under your shirt.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You would.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's not, you're wearing it now and not.
Well, so it's like jewelry almost.
You know, once the moment is
that's
right.
That's why they call it a ring.
Yeah.
If you like it, put a ring on it.
That's right. But wait, before you sit down, you got to try the big metal one.
The heavy one.
Yeah, so okay. You go do that. Okay. Let's go back to Divine Grace.
The Metallica.
So, thoughts.
Oh, by the way, wait. Jay, Dick, one ball.
I was just, he was...
Oh, okay. That you really have to work
so
with.
So, I do, yeah, so this isn't like the don't first time I got dressed and I naturally put my head through the head hole.
Yeah, yeah. Dick, one ball, yeah.
Yeah, don't slap it all off.
Oh, no.
So, thoughts?
Thoughts.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty big, what I saw. Oh, we were talking, I'm sorry.
Misogyny?
Mm-hmm.
Is that misogyny?
I think anybody, when you go into any space, should respect everybody else's space. Because mm-hmm. As a bearded person, they come for it. And they feel entitled to, like, touch it. And I'm like, I don't know where your hands
are. It's
like
black people and their hair. It's like, mm-hmm. don't touch my fucking hair. We had an intern working. Well, I wonder what happened to her. I didn't even long enough to know her name. But when I was introduced to her, I said, oh my God, your hair is so beautiful. Can I touch it? And you watch them and be like, no, what? And I was like, I'm just kidding. I'm so just kidding. I'm not going to touch your hair. But
heads up, this is tricky.
Uh-huh.
You need help?
This is tricky.
Sometimes you have to loop it up and pump it.
I'll be right there.
You want the smartphone, Jay?
is it misogyny?
Well, here's... I'm going to be an asshole here.
Okay.
I am noticing lately that any criticism of a woman or a trans woman is often labeled as misogynistic. Here's what I think. As somebody who has worked in a gay bar since I was 17, I've performed for a lot of bachelorette parties. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them was a goddamn nightmare. Every single one of them. Now, we were talking about this before the show. Growing up gay in a small, you know, small town, especially in the 90s, there was no let's go to this the leather bar where I was at. Let's go to... Everybody drank at the same bar. Women, gay men, their straight allies, their friends, that sort of thing. I have never heard somebody say women shouldn't be allowed in a gay bar. I do know, though, that there are now niche bars. I don't know that straight women, I'm not sure why they would want to go to, like, the Eagle.
Or In Leather, or, not In Leather, but any leather bar.
But respectfully, I lived in San Francisco, they should be allowed to go as long as they can respect.
Yeah, can I say, I want to answer your question. For me, it's not about women. It's about the person. If you come in and you're being disrespectful, then no, that's not welcome. If you're a woman, and I've been to gay bars with Cha-Cha, I've been to gay bars with Katie, I have a lot of female friends that go to gay bars, and there are certain bars I would not take a girl to, absolutely. But when girls come to a gay bar, it is to me on an individual basis, because some I would love to be there with, some I wouldn't. And it's because of the whole...
The author of this column, who by the way is a trans woman... who, after looking at her Facebook page, A, resembles John Goodman in drag, a link stunt double, and B, is a complete shitster. Like, is somebody that, I was like, oh, I see, you're just looking for attention. I was very surprised that this was published by Out. She was a Parker Malloy type that sort of likes to stir the shit so somebody notices. All right. She's talking about the bars. She's also talking about sex clubs. Sex clubs. So, like, yes, women should be allowed to walk into a...
To a gay sex club?
Yeah, into a
gay... Why would you want to?
Well, because they can do whatever they damn well choose. Well, here's the thing. I don't... that's what you want to do, I guess that's okay. But I don't... Yeah, I'm a man with all this white privilege. I still don't have the okay to grab my boyfriend's... and get completely shit-faced and walk in and barf all over a Victoria's Secret. I mean, I had no business being there. But it's these bachelorette parties, and it's like, let's be honest about it. I mean, I have a lot of straight friends, straight female friends, who go to gay bars because they're more comfortable. They feel like I can have a good time and not be harassed. Or, I'm here to hang out with my gay friends. I don't even think that's ever been a problem. I don't think anybody's ever said, nope, shouldn't do it. But would you like to go into a gay sex club and watch?
The only thing that I can think on that is somebody has a little freaky fantasy and they want to be able to fulfill it just like a person who's allowed to be there would. I don't understand why, as a bachelorette party, you would go into certain places other than you feel like having a wild, crazy night, and that's your definition of breaking free and doing something wild, like, out of the norm. And like you guys have said before, I don't think that if you're just going to go be an asshole somewhere that you should be able to walk in anywhere and do that. I think you should just stay home and kind of keep to yourself, but, I mean... misogyny, like, I mean, maybe they got them technically on the way that they said things and phrased things, but I don't think that it's meant to be boo women and go back to your kitchens barefoot, bitch. I think
what's interesting about this, though, is she starts by saying, I just read that some old gay man, and I was like, okay, so first you're ageist. You started off with an ageist comment. Mm-hmm. But she's basically saying, she's basically sort of doing what she's bitching about. These, like, for instance, I'm just going back to the bachelorette parties because that has been my experience. Like I said, it has always been awful, and it has always been physical. I don't understand what it is about drunk straight women who feel like every drag queen they see has to have their tits grabbed or their crotch grabbed, or like, well, I don't know why drunk bachelorette parties think they're going to treat men in drag the same way they bitch about being treated by straight men. Mm. And I will tell a woman, bitch, I'll break your goddamn
heart. But I do think that's something. Well, I mean, you've experienced it with bachelorette parties, and then there's probably a lot more of it in that. But I mean, on a going out, hanging out basis, you don't really see that in our female friends. Maybe that's just our friends.
Think about like Parliament House, for instance. You know, there are those Saturday nights when everybody there is completely shit-faced. Like, sometimes it's just really sloppy. And I look around, every time I'm there, there is always a contingency of straight women who are there with their friends or there to hang out. I've never seen any of this problem. Mm-hmm. There, never. Not in fact...
I've not.
Now that I think of it, not once at a bar in Orlando have I ever seen... So it's not an issue. I can't imagine, though... I'm trying to think of a bar that would just say, no women allowed. I mean, technically they can. Because every gay bar, that's why they're
all... Well, membership. I've been to bars. I've been to gay bars where they didn't come up and say, you're not allowed, but they made it really
uncomfortable
that they didn't want them there. I mean, whatever that means.
In reverse, I've been to a strip club here in Orlando where I was not allowed in unless I had a quote-unquote gentleman with me.
Really?
I was not in a strip club, because that's who should be judging me. In a strip club, people I'm willing to give my money to, mm-hmm. I was not allowed... Luckily, I was meeting me and my friends. Me and two other girls were meeting up with guy friends, but had it just been us, you know... If we were gay, we wouldn't be able to go into that strip club.
I didn't realize that happened.
What is that all about?
I don't know.
I used to have two lesbians, and both of their girlfriends worked at Club Wana, and we as gay guys had to take them in to see their girlfriends at work.
Wow, I didn't know that happened. I didn't know that.
What you're saying with this strip club, like, I can't even figure out the rationale behind that.
Hookers?
Like, especially when most of the... I have a lot of
what
friends...
What did Chacha, he just called you all for?
I have some female friends that are strippers, that are dancers.
Whores.
Whatever. They would love for a woman to come in more than they would love the men, because they fucking hate... what they deal with men in there, the ones that I have known.
Right, which I
would... So they would be thrilled to have a woman come in, so I'm surprised an established...
I'm just thinking, like, as progressive as we think we are, like, you would think I would be able to go into a strip club and go, you know what, maybe I want to go throw my money at these girls and support them that way, and I'm not there to just sit and judge or sit and watch and judge.
Right.
And if it is with the whole thing as far as, like, they could be hookers... which is just a bizarre, but probably the only reason I can think of. There's no giving me a chance or anyone a chance that, you know, maybe I generally do just want to go enjoy my time just like a man would. Hmm. So.
Well, you know what I really want to know?
Wait, just one second. Let me cap that off. People, heterosexuals, really need to understand that oftentimes gay bars are our only safe space. We can't just go into any bar and feel comfortable. I don't.
Right.
I can walk into, and I often do, walk into straight bars and notice that my sibilant S's, and because the moment I open my mouth, my purse falls out, and I see people turning around to see who's the faggot. Who's the faggot? And then there's, oftentimes there is a comment, or so I don't always feel safe. I don't have to worry about that in a gay bar. So if you're going to walk into my safe space and make it uncomfortable for me, I mean, I think that's true for just anybody, including gay people. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the cock ring challenge.
Can we see it? Can we see this one, please?
So this one was tricky. You feel engorged? I am not.
Wait, I did tell you, but dick,
it
ball,
is
and ball.
Tricky. It is very, very tricky.
Now, some people.
Ooh, snap. That looks good.
Thank you. All right.
Michael, shame on you.
Great picture of that. All right. So what do you think?
So
it's got some heft.
But the heft itself it's not really great.
There is movement with the heft. Spread your legs and swing.
I like the flexibility of the rubber, the neoprene, or whatever you want to call it. I like that because, when I put my legs together, I can feel the metal on either side in my thighs. You know what I mean?
That stretchiness. Now, what about the tank?
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that.
No, I think you should try it. No. Look, Jay, this is your one chance. Fancy?
Don't let me down. I'm going to tell you right now, I am not into butt play.
It's not going to touch your butthole.
I know, I understand.
Unless you're some freak that your butthole is right next to your...
No, balls. But I'm not...
Are you a hermaphrodite?
No, I am not into... nothing down there needs attention except my nuts.
Have you had a finger up your butt?
I've dabbled in...
Finger play.
So you've had a finger up your butt.
Well, not all the way.
Say it
enough to know that.
Okay, well then it didn't touch it didn't touch it if it didn't go all the way.
As much as I love my gays, I don't know how you could do that.
It's not a gay thing. You have a prostate too.
I understand that, but as much
you have a straight prostate.
As much as I love my gays, I honestly am not at all. I don't want anything near my stuff down there. I don't want you licking, poking, twisting. Prodding,
twisting,
blowing, just treat the main portions well, and the rest
doesn't. Your prostate is a main portion, just so you know. Your prostate's the most important part.
47 years old, my prostate doesn't at this stage of the game doesn't need any more attention. I am well managing my pleasure without my prostate being...
Wow.
Yeah. I'm good at it. I'm really good at it.
Can we do this same routine another week with the butt plugs? I think we had a discussion at work.
Yeah. Then, Jay, can you bring some butt plugs?
Yeah. No. I can do
No, it doesn't matter if they're used. We're okay with that.
Picture him coming through the parking lot with a pillowcase full of butt plugs.
And then a car hits you and butt plugs fly everywhere.
There's a tire fire. I mean, a cock ring fire.
So I'm going to vote no on the metal.
Okay.
I don't like the flexibility. I don't like the fact that, when I stand with my feet together, I can feel it pushing on my thighs. On that.
But it reminds you you're a man.
Oh, I know I'm
You can chip some teeth with it, too.
That's true. And if you're ever on the dance floor, it's so funny when you see somebody dancing, sometimes with those, but if they get one that's too big or they get sweaty, they drop it on the dance floor and then kick it so no one knows it's there.
Ding, ding, ding.
It slides off
and I got you because it's all sweaty.
I once watched someone have to remove theirs at the airport.
Oh.
I had an airport.
Oh, my
experience.
Yeah.
I'm flying back from a leather contest in 1985, and the man I was with had put a pair of handcuffs around my junk.
Oh, dear.
And they were like, what's that? So it was a quick trip to the bathroom.
My penis has been arrested. You have to. I'm taking.
Under arrest.
I am extraditing him home. Peas and carrots. Watermelon, motherfucker. All right, well, let's cut to break then.
All right, we'll do that.
Final break of the
What evening. Are we hearing, Jay?
This is Planet Earth from Duran Duran, their first hit.
Let's do that cock ring again.
Came outside to watch the night fall.
And we're back. Duran Duran, what was the song?
Planet Earth, their very first hit. The first time I ever saw them on music television was Planet Earth.
I was there once. Planet Earth, it was awful. I didn't care for the people. Yeah. I had to go to Earth to realize they're really not my kind of people.
Yes. My first lover and I was visiting a friend, and this guy's like, this record's going to change the world, and it was Planet Earth. And I was like, huh.
My first cassette of an actual band, my first cassette was a soundtrack, but my first cassette of an actual band was Duran Duran. What was the album with Rio?
Rio.
Was that it? Mm-hmm. That was my first musical cassette.
There's a funny story with Billy. He was at the Duran Duran concert around the time of Notorious, and they had leaked the album to him early. And so he's backstage hanging with the opening band. I think it was Girls Aloud or All Saints or one of those. He's like, oh, do you want to hear the new Duran Duran? And he's playing it. And the girl's like, well, how did you get that? And Billy just had access to some of the most amazing people to keep him up to date.
Mm-hmm. That's speaking of which. So
speaking of Billy,
let's wrap this night up with some stories. You were saying that we should basically just go around and say what we've learned from.
Well, yeah. I think first of all, let's do that at the end.
Okay.
I think it's important. I mean, I think Billy has affected everyone in some way or another. I can say for me. I think the thing that I appreciate the most about him was he was blatantly honest about himself, which left no room for any bullshit. You know, he laid everything out on the table, from his, you know, first husband's suicide and all the things that he's gone through. He was very, very vocal about himself, his flaws, and then with that came all of the goodness through his activism and everything. I think it's so important that we do that. That we're just honest about our own fuck ups, and because that's how we learn. Is, you know, whether it's a fuck up that's his fault or not, or our fault or not. I just think that's important that we're just honest.
To add to that, I wouldn't suggest that anybody be necessarily shameless. I don't mean it like that.
No.
But, I mean, you understand what I'm saying. Like, I don't mean that. But, if, like, you, for instance, you are warts and all more than anybody I know. Like, you're more shameless, really. Like, you're just sort of like, here's
what I mean, that's what I liked about Billy. That's what I appreciated.
This is me. And because, and I think that's really important, because I think we've all seen that if you harbor that, if you don't sort of lay it all out, you're not living authentically. If you don't really lay it all out, warts and all, it festers, and you just sit around in shame. You say, if you don't become shameless, you just become shameful, and that is really unhealthy. That's very unhealthy. Go ahead. What did you learn from Billy?
Just the authenticity and realness, and there's nothing wrong with admitting there's a problem and figuring out a way around it, and to always speak out for those that don't have a voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, he fought for you no matter what the problem was. He understood and learned to inhabit what how your perception of it was, and to explain it. Mm-hmm. Your words might not have been perfect, but when he finished talking to you, he had your essence and your history and your truth, and was able to put that out for other people to understand and get.
Yeah.
And for that, I'll forever love him.
I learned from him, be the change, enact the change that you want. Don't sit around waiting for somebody else to pick up the slack. You've got to do it. You have to be active.
No, when Pulse, I mean,
part of it, like, oh my God. Like, you think back, I remember specifically, we were in Bradenton working on the circus when Pulse happened. And the next day we went into work for part of the day, and everyone's crying and very upset. So we made it a half day, and we end up at a wing house by the hotel. And it's a sports bar, so sort of like Hooters on meth. And there's
television screens everywhere, and they're all on the news. And there's Billy Mays. There he is on MSNBC. And remember, he's crying. Like, he's the voice of Orlando, and he's having a very hard time holding it together. And I remember all of us, you know, crying and watching that, thinking, oh, I can't. And this is before I really knew Billy, too. But all of us saying, like, I can't imagine anybody better that they could have called and said, we need to talk to somebody from Orlando about this, than Billy Mays.
With all the emotion that was running through him, he was still coherent.
Yeah.
He was completely there. Mm-hmm. From what Billy said, Tony told him at 5 that don't look at his phone. And of course, Billy looked at his phone, and he lives blocked from Pulse. And he was there, and by 2 o'clock, he was on MSNBC, and it just dovetailed from there. But between both Billy and Patty Sheehan, I don't know how Orlando would have made it through.
No, and Orlando really did well. Orlando was like, we've talked about this on the show before, but America has gotten so used to, like, okay, there's Sandy Hook, and now everyone changes their profile picture, and everybody mourns the loss of these children, and then lather, rinse, and repeat. We all cry over it, and then a couple weeks later, oh, here's another one. We've got another Columbine, or we've got another... so, we've become fairly desensitized to it, because if we went brokenhearted as often as we could, it would just be never-ending. Pardon me. With Pulse specifically, it was different. Like, here it is a year later, and it's still on the collective consciousness of America.
I'm still on the reader boards at Taco Bell.
But I mean, like,
yeah. I think it's a beautiful world, thing.
Though it's, and I thought for sure, especially because it was centered around a gay bar, that, oh, nobody's going to give a shit about this one. There'll be no. No, and it couldn't have been more wrong.
I think for lack of Billy and Patty, it would have been gay washed away. They would let them not say the word.
Yeah.
I think Orlando itself showed its heart from the people that were in line at the blood bank.
That's what we were saying the other night, was like the fact that we had a Republican red state, conservative state.
With a Republican mayor.
Awful. I'm not mayor, but Rick Scott and Marwood. I kept thinking we still had our detractors, so not, I don't want to say our enemies, but those who do not support us, lining up around a blood bank.
In front of Pulse.
In front of Pulse. That still was surprising. I was like, even they even got it. Even the people who disagree with our quote-unquote lifestyle, even they understood that. And it was, but the rest of the world followed.
Orlando leading, because a lot of our leaders had a change of heart overnight, seeing the effect that we have on the community, who we are as a people, all of it changed.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a year. I would never have thought, though, that a year later, but, you know, when Billy was sort of leading all of us through that, I never would have thought that TikTok 365 days. I'm really sad to see him go. I don't mean to bring it down, but for me specifically, I've had several people very close to Billy approach me or call me to let me know what Billy thought of me. Now, like I said, I didn't really know Billy well until fairly recently. Like, I started writing for Watermark about a year ago, and I got to know him better that way. Other than that, he was a figurehead that I saw everywhere, and we would say hello and whatnot. But that day in D.C., that during the Gay Pride parade, the day before the march, with you and Tony and that group, that was, to me, just one of the best.
It was just beautiful.
I just felt so good about being gay. Do you know what I mean? And there I was with Billy Mays, and I remember thinking when we went to D.C., I was like, you know, I really hope I make a good impression on Billy Mays. And I already had, apparently.
You already had. Those decisions were made upon the first meeting. But a shout out to Rob Hudson. Hey, Rob. Mm-hmm. He made DC beautiful. We started out where the eventual resist movement disrupted the parade. And it was so busy, we walked our asses four blocks in a big U to go where the parade began. We ended up getting the most fabulous table in the most fabulous restaurant to witness the most spectacular parade. Mm-hmm. Tony's family drove 16 and a half hours from Wisconsin to see him and meet Billy, which was truly beautiful. Yeah. And Billy and Tony were just, it was just an amazing day, an amazing weekend.
The food was great. I remember that too, yes.
I personally did not know him, never met him, and I don't know if that's a factor of me not living in Florida very long or me not being part of a more mature generation of people, but I think that just from everything, being a completely third-party person, never have met meeting him, and just seeing the impact that he's had, I mean, yes, Divine Grace had mentioned his passing and, you know, being very, very upset about that. But there's people that I don't know, that I know that don't know you guys, that have posted about him and how sad they are in the loss of him. So he's very influential. so I think that it's a beautiful thing, though, to have a person and a spirit to have existed with such ambition and purpose in life, that they have left such an impact to single-handedly, not with the help, not as part of a group, but to single-handedly do something like mm-hmm. that is amazing and inspirational in itself. Speaking of which, I have been looking, and I believe I've talked to you, Michael, about this, and maybe Miss Devon, but if there is any way that I can find anybody taking part in the next Pride Parade that I can give my services to, I have a concept in mind that I would like to give more purpose to other than just doing a random photo shoot, mm-hmm. Please let me know. I'm extremely, extremely feeling the need to in some way give back and commemorate those at Pulse and those just in the LGBT community who have been lost over the past year or so. Please let me know.
You know, an hour gay pride is actually just a couple months away.
I do know that. That's why I am looking now. So that way it's not a last second rush or scramble to do anything. Mm-hmm. I'd like to prep and prepare if I can. But if not, then I'm totally going to just do it on my own. I don't need an official excuse, but it would be nice.
I really appreciate that.
I think we all do. And I want to get the information of how to get a hold of it at the end of the show. But tell us about what you have.
Okay, if you're interested in Billy t-shirts or window decals, they're available at Go Big Tees and Marketing. Mm-hmm. That's at 1221 Hillcrest Street. It's in the corner of Hillcrest and Mills. The window decals are $5. T-shirts are, I think, $19.99 if you'd like them shipped. There's going to be a link on Divine Grace channel after this podcast. You can order the t-shirts. They'll be printing up as the orders come in. It's a way to keep his memory going forward.
And I want to say thank you for that. Yeah. I think we all thank you for that, because that alone is so important. That will help so many people when you see that shirt or that decal on something or that stencil on something. That's gonna help people bring that thought to Billy and what he stood for. So I think it's very important that if please go get this t-shirt. Go get a t-shirt. Wear it.
First of all, I would like to say something about the woman who put this together.
Rachel Gardner.
She's amazing. Rachel Gardner, first of all, I saw this stencil, or I saw she had taken it, I think, to the venue right after his passing and spray painted. Mm-hmm. And it's, for those of you who don't know Billy Maynes, he had a receding hairline that he almost put an exclamation
point. He did, yeah.
Like, he had this bleached hair, really kind of spiky, some, like I said, sometimes acid yellow. that was his, that and a pair of glasses was sort of his look. You knew him. This stencil, these t-shirts, it's the most beautifully brilliant, it's just a pair of glasses and the hair. And it's
iconic.
It's iconic. It's flat out, yeah, it was so iconic. So when putting together the flyer for tonight's show, I used it, and I credited the artist, and I received an email from her saying, this is copyrighted. And there, she had some problems with it being used flippantly. And I immediately got my panties in a bunch. Like, and I told her, I was like, good luck policing that. I imagine it's going to be like trying to police Kilroy or something. And she said, the way she handled it, like, the first thing she says, the first thing I want to say is, I know you've lost somebody, and I really understand that and respect that. She's pretty remarkable. She's a pretty remarkable woman. And she said a lot that she didn't have to say. I was reading through it because she wrote a lot, and I was like, God damn, this is a fantastic lady. When you see this design, I've ordered my shirt. Again, all proceeds go directly to the charities that Billy supported, and that's been at his husband's discretion. I would also remind everybody, we've had a huge loss. All of us have. Nobody more than Billy. I mean, more than Tony. Who has been remarkable through all of this. All of this. But if you know him, I know right now he's really a sort of ass that everyone just sort of leave him alone for a minute, because he's like, just give me a moment to work through this. Please, not with with the cards and visits and that sort of thing. I need to be with my family right now. But when Billy passed, Tony completely understood how this was going to play out with the community. And he was more respectful to the community than he really had to be as a widow or a widower.
In more ways than anybody will ever know.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I'm sorry that they only had a 2-year marriage. I'm very happy that that's how Billy went out, though. Was with Tony.
But they had a 17-year friendship.
Yep.
And for that, that's something that can never be taken from either one of them.
Yep.
And they both taught each other things that will outlast time.
Yep.
Well, Billy was the light. And if he showed you that, carry it with what you do every day. And if you get confused, just think what Billy would do. Because he'd probably speak out. He'd say something really snarky. And at the end of it, you'd know, well, at least that's the fucking truth.
Yeah. Well, Billy left a handprint on the community's heart. But the beauty of it is he also left behind a pretty large body of work. And something that I was able to find, so he wrote a book.
Yes.
The first 4 chapters are available. You can find them online.
In Artborne. Artborne magazine.
Yeah. In their entirety. But there are lots of interviews, lots of articles.
And the documentary.
And then his documentary about his husband's suicide.
And that was from Vicki Nance.
Yes.
And her lover, Mary Meeks. Vicki did that documentary. It's beautiful. She just unearthed some footage that's like 12 years old, talking about Planned Parenthood that's out. That's another spectacular just find.
And there's, so it's like his legacy's around, his work is still around. I would suggest to everybody listening and within the sound of my voice to at least check it out. I promise you will enjoy it. He definitely knew how to, he was a good writer, but he knew how to deliver, he knew how to be an activist without making you regret it.
He wasn't an agitator, he just put it out.
Yep.
Although he could cause agitation.
He was scrappy.
Yeah. I mean, he tormented the city council for years.
Can you imagine if he had actually won the mayorship?
Oh, yes.
Can you imagine what would have happened if he'd been mayor? That would have been interesting. Because he did. He ran for mayor
mm-hmm.
at one point. Well, you guys, thank you so much for being part of this. A big thank you to Carol Lee also, and to Christine for being part of the show earlier.
You forgot Tab.
We'd like to thank Tab.
And
our sponsor.
And Gobert.
And Alex for bringing the cock ring so that I finally got to see Jay's dick. Thank you.
That is so sweet.
I've been waiting on that.
Let me tell you, it's got a dick for radio.
Oh no! I saw a good amount of it.
Beer can.
Cha Cha. Yeah, I can't even speak. Cha Cha. Where can people find out about you and what you can do for them?
You can add me on Facebook, Cha Cha Chavez, or on Instagram at Cha Cha the Pinup. Those are probably the two best ways to get a hold of me or reach out to me.
Or contact me if you need.
Yeah, if that doesn't work, well, contact either Michael or Ms. Divine. They can get a hold of me always. But yeah, please somebody help me find more purposeful use for my skills in regards to giving back and doing something beautiful for
it. And on Facebook, you are Cha-Cha, and it's one word. Cha-cha. You look it up the other way, it's hard to find.
Okay, so
Cha-Cha, it's Cha-cha one word, one, Chavez.
One word, and then Chavez, with a Z.
Like Liza.
Tom.
Yes.
Where can we find your shirt, everything that you're doing for Billy?
The link's going to be available on Divine Grace's Mixlr page.
It's available on our Facebook page right now. Mm-hmm. I just put it there, but yes.
Yep. That's the easiest way to get the shirts and the quickest. If you'd like decals and you're in town, again, it's at Go Big Marketing, which is 1221 Hillcrest Street. The girls there are amazing. They've worked together with Rachel and have... It's amazing that we're 10 days... No, not even 10 days out. Mm-hmm. And this is already going. Mm-hmm. It's a sign of the community's love, the cooperation, the vision of all of Tony's friends and support network, the culmination of Billy's life, and his message is not ending. We just all have to carry it.
That's amazing. It actually feels like he's been gone a month.
In some ways, yeah.
It feels like he's been gone, like he's, yeah, for a while.
Alex, where can we see your cock rings? On your dick?
At the bar.
Or on Jay's dick. Jay?
All right, well, I am new to social media, but I am on Instagram, JAYSkinner70, where you can find pictures of cats, and I just snapped a photo with me making out with Dee Dee, Cha-Cha's dog.
Aww.
And of course,
I got a picture of your dick and a cock ring. I'll post that later.
And, of course, I'm on Mixcloud, JAYSkinner70. Check me out. Let me get your latest mix.
All right, so we're going to wrap with something special for Billy. You said it's
on. Yes, this is Duran Duran again, Billy's favorite band, and I think it's appropriate. This isn't the same planet without him. This is Ordinary World.
All right, good night to our listeners in the chat room. Thank you so much, and we will catch you next week with a new episode of Full of Grace.
Thank you all for hanging in there. Good night. But I won't cry for yesterday.
accident once prompted you to stay. Pride will tear us both apart. Well, now Brian's gone out the window, cross the rooftops, run away.
And there's a